Welcome to the Murphy, Sam, and Jody Weekend Replay Podcast. 12 of our favorite moments from this past week. Enjoy.
What was your first obsession in life that you can remember? We all go through little stages of being a little obsessed with something and then not so much.
People or things.
Either or. I asked you guys. You were very honest, Murphy, about weather.
Yeah, weather was my first obsession.
Yeah.
You know why?
I mean, no. Why?
You don't look interested in why. Right.
I'm very interested.
Your wife doesn't look interested.
I think, and this was my parents. I actually don't remember this. My parents explained this to me. At a very young age, I loved watching the forecasters on TV, the weather people. And so they would actually take the weather map out of the newspaper. They would tape it to the door, the front door of the house.
That's so sweet.
And I would walk up there with a pointer at 3 years old, and I would tell them what the weather was going to be tomorrow.
Okay, I'm interested now because I didn't know that story. After all these years.
Didn't you also have a cloud chart on your refrigerator?
Oh, I did. Yeah, from the Weather Channel a long time ago.
Yeah.
Well, look, everybody needs to know the difference between, you know, cumulonimbus clouds and cirrus clouds. Come on, Sam.
Yeah. It was one of your mom's first conversations with me when she didn't know what to say to me when I was new in the family. She was like, so are you interested in clouds at all?
I know. That's my mom.
Time to go.
That's when we were at the beach together for the first time. We all have a first obsession, and you maybe don't even remember yours, you know?
Yeah.
Sam, you said yours was?
The Saints, New Orleans Saints.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to think back as far as I can. It was space, but I think the Saints came first because I was at games when I was 5 years old.
Wow.
And when their first coach got fired after just 3 seasons, I cried like a baby.
Oh.
Really?
I was 6 years old. I think it's because I didn't realize that was a thing. You know, firing.
Oh, you. Oh,
it's like,
so
well,
you were hurt too.
He's the Saints' coach, so he's always the Saints' coach.
So you were hurt too.
Right.
Yeah. Aw. We asked on our Facebook page, and boy, did you come through. Amy says, bird eggs.
Oh.
That's a cute thing to be obsessed with. Crystal says, John Bon Jovi. Hey, baby, I feel you. He was not my first obsession, but I've definitely had those moments.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, one of my favorites, Bethany. She says, penguins.
That's cute.
You just never know why, right? You just never know why. So cute.
I wonder if that means that she's got like stuffed ones at home and
or had them.
Penguin prints on curtains now.
Or maybe not anymore.
Yeah.
You know, like when I say first obsession, I mean the first thing you can remember being obsessed with.
Yeah, I guess some things stick and some don't. Weather sticks for me.
Keep it coming. 877-310-4MSJ. Murphy might have complained about me bringing him lemonades instead of Thin Mints, Girl Scout cookies, but he finished those lemonades this weekend, I can tell you.
Yeah, well, you know.
Thick as a cat.
My motto is Girl Scout cookies, one sleeve at a time.
Yeah. Two servings per box.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Smitty has something to say about selling and buying Girl Scout cookies.
What you got, Smitty?
When I was a kid, I had a paper route and played baseball. We had to sell raffle tickets.
Oh, yes.
So I would take the raffle tickets on my paper route and sell them all to my customers.
Nice.
And as I got older, I said, when I'm old and there's kids selling stuff, I will always buy from the kids,
correct,
not the parents.
Right.
I put in the work as a kid.
Right.
So this one time at Home Depot or something like that, Boy Scouts were selling popcorn. I'm not a big fan of popcorn, but there was a Boy Scout out there in a popcorn outfit, and he was working it.
Yes.
So I bought like the biggest box of popcorn sale thing they had because that kid was working it. The kids work it. I'm a sucker for it.
That's awesome, Smitty. Yeah, I totally get that.
Yeah, that Boy Scout popcorn is delicious.
Yeah, I think I've had some. As long as it's salty or cheesy.
Yeah, they got one that's got tons of butter on it, too.
Haven't seen anybody in a popcorn outfit, but that's a smart idea.
Me either.
I don't see the popcorn out and Boy Scouts out selling it as frequently as you see Girl Scouts.
No.
What is that? What's that about?
I don't know.
I think it's probably the familiarity of Girl Scout cookies. It's just so... And it gets the media attention, you know?
I guess
probably.
So. It's got the
but it makes me want to go look for... Boy Scout popcorn now.
Yeah.
Look, I know that
hang around Walmart for a while. Yeah. They'll show up.
Let me throw this out. I know that it costs.
Yeah.
You're making the donation to the troop when you buy it, because I have a friend who had a huge problem with the amount of popcorn she got for what she paid for a tin.
Oh, really?
Okay? Yes. Just be honest.
I mean, honestly, yeah, that's
it's
true. But you're doing it to help the scouts.
Right.
Enjoy your popcorn.
Yeah, you know you're going into it knowing that or should.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
why I'm such a fan of the kids being the ones to ask it. Even mm-hmm. if it's hard for them, when they're able to do that, it builds confidence. Confidence. Thank you, Smitty. Call anytime, 877-310-4MSJ.
Social Media Connect.
Jump in with us on Instagram and Facebook anytime. We're going to get to more of your first ever that you remember obsessions. Before that, Rand sent this regarding the selling of Girl Scout cookies and Boy Scout popcorn. Rand says, many times the kids selling something are participating in a competition. Mm-hmm. Prizes awarded for most sold mm-hmm. and such. Parents pitching in to increase sales for their kid is like doing their homework. Thank you for that, Rand.
It's such a fine line because you want to do, you know, help and support. And the way to do that is the encouragement, like we've seen parents do, where they're on the street and they send, you know, their kid to your door and they do the, you know, they're encouraging
their
coaching. Yeah, exactly.
But don't sell it for them, right? I never did. I would take the girls places, but I would say, you need to ask Mr. So-and-so.
You know, it would be like you trick-or-treating for your kids.
Right, which is a problem.
What's wrong with that?
Oh, no. He's out on the street. I'm here to get his food for him.
Okay, onward to, and thank you, Rand, onward to your first ever obsessions that you remember in life. This is so interesting because we all have one. Whichever one you remember the most, we wanted to hear about. Angel said, the Titanic. Way before they ever made the movie, my dad got me interested when I was around 4 years old. I remember watching the live feed of them finding it.
Hmm. Yeah, that was a big deal. That was a whole National Geographic thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Rhonda said, sequoia trees and forest.
Oh. Hmm.
Love going camping and exploring. Took my sister one time, and my mom had reported us lost when we all of a sudden came casually climbing back up out of an embankment. I wasn't lost. Scary for your mother, though. Yeah. Tammy says the Bermuda Triangle.
Yeah, I saw that. Me as a kid, yeah, the Bermuda Triangle sucked me in.
And?
How can things really be disappearing like that?
And how do you feel about it now, though? Meh.
It's a hoax.
Well, you know, it was. It was probably the original unsolved mystery, right?
Yeah.
Well, maybe not the original unsolved mystery. But
no.
All we needed was technology to realize.
Yeah,
okay,
right.
I was terrified of quicksand. No, I wasn't obsessed with it.
When have you run into quicksand?
I have not.
Nobody has.
Anyway, thank you. Keep it coming. You know, we love to hear from you. You can also give us a call, 877-310-4MSJ.
You know, I am a single guy.
Yes, you are, Sam.
And sometimes I need to bounce things, since I don't have a better half, need to bounce things off of my work spouses.
Okay. Well, I consider myself your better half, you know.
We both are.
And Jody,
are.
Too, yeah.
We
I said spouses.
We are like a work spouse marriage,
yes,
all
we
three
are.
Of us.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I should have addressed this sooner, but it goes back to an After the Show podcast from last week.
Okay.
We were talking about beauty, you know, and the eyebrow thing. Me having, you know, wild hairs in the eyebrow. And Jody gave some great advice. You need to go listen to that podcast.
Yeah.
But in discussing it, one of the things you mentioned, Murphy, is you get haircuts from Jennifer.
Yes.
And you said, yeah, and you still cut your own hair, Sam.
Yes.
So, no.
No, I didn't say it. I just said you don't have somebody looking out for you.
No,
you were asking about the eyebrow thing, and
no,
she's
not,
looking out for me, yeah, and yes,
is,
you cut your hair.
This is not a put-down or anything.
Right.
It's actually asking, because I haven't checked in since I started this.
Right.
Give me a, like, hey, have I been doing a good job? I mean, this is all me, personally.
You want me, honestly?
Yeah.
I had forgotten that you cut your own hair since the pandemic, because it looks good. It looks great.
Ooh, I like that.
I had forgotten until Murphy pointed it out. So I'd forgotten, which is a compliment.
Which is good.
I'll tell you
because
so.
Every time I cut it, every couple of weeks, you know, the back is hard because you're doing it yourself. And
you can't see.
With the double mirror thing.
Yeah.
It's like.
Yeah.
Turn your head.
So
it looks great.
Yeah. How does that work? Do you like different attachments for different parts of your head?
Yeah, girlfriend. How does it work?
I'm just asking.
I give the whole head a six.
Okay.
And then usually on the sides, I give it a 4 because for some reason a 6 on the side, my hair bows out.
Yes, yeah. So, I think I might have noticed that when you were first doing it. It was almost too even. There was a sheen. It was like a halo effect. But now, that's why I asked that, because it looks more like it should. Tapered on the sides, you know, whatever you want it to be on the top.
And I use that 4 on the back when I go from the bottom up like a,
nice.
A little oh, nice.
Wave
okay.
to give it a little. And then I take everything off and I try to get the back straight.
Good for
and
you.
And over the ears too.
Well, you're doing a great job.
I just, you know, I know this is selfish, but I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah, no, it looks great.
You're supposed to run things by friends. That's what friends
I
are there to
look
do.
Good on the dating apps.
Right. So if you start picking the wrong, attachment or settings, yeah. we'll let you know.
Iconic things that turn 50 this year.
Okay.
Do you like knowing this kind of stuff? Does it make you
74? Yeah.
In the 70s. Yeah, 74 specifically.
But no, you know, in the 70s.
I'm just reading about the 70s being an era of invention. So all this stuff came down. And it's older now, and it's a part of our lives.
Yeah.
And Murphy loves this kind of stuff. I can't believe this is years old.
But I mean, yeah. I'm more of a child of the 80s. But I mean, I was a little bitty in the 70s. But there are things I remember.
Okay, so Post-it notes were invented in the 70s. Turned 50 this year. Turned 50 this year. Mm-hmm. I use Post-it notes every day. I write myself little notes.
Weren't those an accident too?
Yeah, probably. They were. It was supposed to be a super glue type adhesive, and it went soft.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
I love that story.
But the thing about Post-it notes, to me, that was an 80s thing. I don't remember. You know what I mean? I don't remember those coming along.
Well, maybe it started in the 70s. Obviously in 74.
It just took 10 years to catch on.
Sure. Or to be marketed, packaged, and marketed correctly.
You're right, right.
That process is a long process.
Yeah, you're right.
The Heimlich maneuver.
Oh, wait,
I didn't know
really?
That.
I would have thought that's been around for longer
than
that.
Me too, because I felt like it's always been a part of our consciousness.
Was Heimlich a doctor? Was he Dr. Heimlich or just Mr. Heimlich? I don't remember.
I don't know, but he has his own maneuver.
Yeah, he did.
I don't remember that. Connect Four.
Yeah, well.
You don't like that game, do you?
It's all right.
Yeah, I know.
It's just checkers up, standing up.
Standing up, checkers.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, I had to think about that one.
You didn't have Connect Four?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, you weren't missing much.
Yeah. Checkers.
DayQuil is 50 years old this year.
Oh.
Nice.
Wait, really?
That's what I'm...
DayQuil?
DayQuil.
Man, I thought that was like in the last 20 years or
I know. It seems newish because NyQuil took all the glory. Like, NyQuil was the thing. But DayQuil apparently was introduced.
Would like to stay awake in the daytime. Nope.
You know what's crazy about that is that shows you what a simpler time it was because it was so revolutionary. Yeah. This medicine won't put you to sleep. You know
this medicine will.
Right.
Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah.
Okay.
People magazine turning 50.
Oh, really? People wasn't around before that?
UPC barcodes turning 50
that makes
this
sense.
Year. And maybe one of my favorites from the master Stephen King. His first novel, Carrie.
You should tell me, Mama.
Which became a movie that freaked us all out.
Yeah. Oh, Lord.
When a woman walks into a messy room, her cortisol levels spike.
I didn't think you wore those under dresses anymore. Oh, that's not what
very
you mean.
Very cute. Very cute. We mentioned this yesterday in Three Things to Know, and I've got to talk about it with you because all of my life, that's happened to me, and I didn't realize. You know this, Murphy.
I don't think that's just a woman thing, by the way. I think it's a guy thing, too, right?
Say for women especially.
I do, right?
For certain people, but for women especially. Yeah. Now, I know it probably works with Sam.
Oh, definitely.
But the more stuff
Wait, do I have cortisol?
Yeah.
Okay.
Probably more than most.
That's right.
Anyway, well, I'm just saying, all of my life, when I've walked into a certain room, and honestly, if it's a house with too much stuff in it, and I walk in, I start to feel like I can't breathe.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it?
But in your own home, it also takes on an emotional thing because you identify yourself with it. Like, this is me. This is my home. That's why I throw stuff away so much.
I think even when you're not paying attention to it, you don't. It's a subtle level of stress that you just don't catch when there's clutter.
It's true. That's why when you walk into a hotel room or an Airbnb and everything, let's say you go into a room that's staged and you're like, because all that baggage is not there, like haunting you, all that extra stuff.
Well, it's also that feeling of self-satisfaction. I mean, really, is there a better feeling than once you've got something cleaned and organized? It's like, whoa.
Isn't that funny? We identify with our spaces as much as anything.
Right.
So the reason for the whole story, and I love sharing it, and I just wanted to dig in deeper, is that spring now. Spring cleaning can be good for you mentally, not just for your house or for you being able to find your keys. It can be good for you mentally. And experts say if it seems overwhelming, it doesn't mean you have to deep clean all day and your house has to pass some sort of glove test. You can start with a drawer. You can start with one little closet and do one thing a day, you know, kind of naturally.
Or just do like an hour.
Right.
You know, put yourself on a hard limit of an hour and pick up there next time you do it.
Yeah.
I have a dear friend whose mom and dad still lived in this very big house that they raised the kids in. And as her mom got older, she said, look, all I do is I clean up in one room a day. So that she wouldn't have to, you know, spend all day or all weekend cleaning a big house. That would wreck her. So one room she would pick up in and clean in every day. Good luck, and good luck with those cortisol levels.
Subscribe to the Murphy, Sam, and Jody podcast. Free and easy.
From our email at murphysamandjody.com, Murphy, you had asked me yesterday what was a French manicure, and I did my best to describe it to you. They're gorgeous.
Yeah, it almost sounds saucy, racy kind of, until you really, you know what I mean?
See, I don't think that.
I don't know, because when you say something's done. French, you know what I mean?
He just means the way it sounds.
Right, ooh la la, right.
Oh, she had a French manicure.
Okay, so to ease your mind, this is from Alicia, and I love this that she emailed this in. Contrary to what you might deduce from the name, this technique did not originate in France. Its origins lie in big, glitzy Hollywood, where in 1975, a manicurist, Jeff Pink was his name, gave birth to what would become the world's most famous nail art. At the time, there was a custom of matching the actress's nail polish with their change of dress, an operation that took a lot of the crew's time. Huh. Directors starting asking manicurists to come up with a neutral and easily adaptable nail look, so Jeff Pink had the idea to create what is now the most famous nail art ever. Actresses and directors were enraptured by the beauty and simplicity of such a natural and versatile style. The regrowth was hardly visible and suited every stage outfit. The invention quickly caught on in the fashion industry, winning the attention of stylists. The following year, at Paris Fashion Week, numerous models paraded around with pink base nails and white smile lines, meaning at the end, white tips. Jeff Pink took the opportunity to christen and present his creation to the world, the French manicure.
So that really did, in a roundabout way, kind of got it started in France on a runway, right?
In Hollywood.
I'm surprised he didn't call it a pink manicure. Of course, I guess that could be confusing.
It would be.
You know, color
pink. The pink manicure sounds like it's all one color pink.
Yeah. And I guess, you know, on the set of a movie, though, are you really going to see somebody's nails that closely?
I think that you should see. This is why people on movie sets have stylists.
And yeah, sure. Yes. I understand.
Women especially pay attention to that sort of stuff. Okay. I mean, I do. I don't look at every woman's nails.
In the movies?
Sure.
I totally understand that.
Wow.
Right.
Okay.
Details matter. They do. So thank you, Alicia. I love it. And keep it coming. You can email us anytime at murphysamandjody.com. Take us along anytime it's convenient for you. It's the Murphy, Sam, and Jody podcast. Free, easy to grab. It's the whole show every day rolled up into one little podcast. And there's an after the show as well.
So, Jody, I haven't told you this yet. I know we're married and all, but...
We do this a lot, though. We share things with each other, with Sam present as our witness.
Small challenge at the at the house that we're going through right now.
Okay.
Uh-oh. And so we've had to resod part of the yard. You know, last year, it was so hot, a lot of the grass died.
Yeah.
And there was an area that we had removed some old rotten wood deck. And so we needed to put some grass down because we were a dust bowl. Every day.
Yeah.
So the sod is down now. It's being cared for.
It looks so pretty.
It does look good. But, you know, one thing that I've noticed is the dogs. Now, this is like a free-for-all. You know, it's kind of like exploring new territory. It's a new place to, you know.
Drop things.
Leave their mark.
Yeah.
And
you said it was okay for them to go there.
Well, it's the problem is that all three of them mark on top of each other, which last year killed a number of spots in the backyard. And after spending the money to have the yard resod, I don't want that to be a problem. You know?
Simple solution. You put a sign out there. No dogs allowed.
So the first, you know, the first moment, Edie went out, you know, for the marking order is Edie, Sparky, champ. It's predictable.
Champ is king.
It's what it is. She's female. The two males, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And so she was the first to go in the grass area, and that's where I realized, I don't want all three of them in the same spot. Certainly, they're not going to do that.
Yeah.
They've got this entirely new, huge area. No, not so. So I told the other dogs, no. And tried to walk in the other, walk farther out of the yard. And they stopped.
They didn't even go.
They looked at me like I was stupid. They went. Here's okay. What wound up happening. Finally, I'm on the other side of the yard. And when I told them, okay, go potty. Champ went right back to that same spot.
Well,
yeah. So
he has
I had a job to do. So I had to take the hose out and spray that. Yeah, because I don't want them killing the new spot. So now I'm walking them out together. So wherever I get Edie to go, the others go. I think we've got a routine going, so maybe I've got a built-in
solution. It's a smart way, I guess, because what you're battling is like,
nature.
Their instinct.
Yeah, I know.
And did they spin around in a circle for 5 minutes first also?
Well, no, that they don't do that in that part of the yard.
Did you tell them how much you spent on the grass?
They still don't understand.
Does venting actually make you feel better? You want a quick guess?
Yeah, I can't. It's a two-part answer.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
Yeah, it may make you feel better temporarily, but how you handle it may not be helpful to others around you.
Oh, such a good answer.
Is it?
It's not the answer exactly, but Sam?
Feels good to get it off your chest, but unless you do something about it, I guess it does nothing.
Oh, okay. Also a decent answer. Proud of you both.
Decent, huh?
Well, good answer.
That's great.
We both got it wrong is what it means.
No, not exactly. Venting to a friend or a partner about something that's aggravating you or your bad day actually doesn't do anything to reduce anger or rage or anything. And this is based on a bunch of studies about venting and anger, not one. This is a bunch of combined. And it actually increases, wait for this, psychological arousal. It increases your heart rate, your blood pressure, muscle tension. It's almost like you speak it more into life.
Yeah.
I hate to hear that.
When you're venting, you get all wound up. So that does make sense.
It's counter to what we believe because everybody says, talk about it. Get it off of your chest.
Well, talking about it and getting it off your chest is probably different than emoting it like that.
Right.
Physically emoting it.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, that is one thing that I've learned from the meditations and using the Calm app and all that is you experience the feeling, you acknowledge the feeling. That doesn't mean venting. It just means you acknowledge it, you feel it, you allow yourself to feel it, and then you understand how you do or don't need to act on it.
Yeah.
But that's where we fall short typically, and it's a very human thing. You go straight from the feeling to the reaction
to
instead
the kind
of the
spew.
Right.
You and I have an interesting history with venting, Murph. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know. You were really bad about that. I was really bad
Working together too. Yeah. So, sometimes if there's venting going on, sometimes it's like, okay, I can't anymore. I can't absorb this anymore.
Yeah.
We would have those discussions years ago.
And
you are better.
As spouses, you can't vent about work to your spouse if that's the problem.
Right. Or if you don't want to bring that home.
Yeah.
So what
the only option I have is to look in the mirror and go, you're not going to believe what Jody did at work today.
No, tell me.
Well, here.
If you do want to feel better, calmer, they say deep breathing, meditation, yoga, or even counting to 10 is a better way to go.
Jody's top 5 entertainment stories of the week.
Brought to you by State Farm.
Number 5.
Oprah Winfrey did her special on weight loss and shame, all of that this week on ABC.
I took on the shame that the world gave to me. For 25 years, making fun of my weight was national sport.
She got very real about weight loss drugs and the weight loss revolution, the fact that she is taking something. She didn't name exactly what drug, but she also said that, she hikes 3 to 5 miles a day and eats a healthy lifestyle, healthy diet.
Wow.
But there's so much to this. And it's like, being obese, it's not a character flaw. And the reason I bring it up is because it's on Hulu now. It debuted on ABC, but it's on Hulu now with also an after the show part of her with the audience on Hulu.
Oh, okay.
If you want to dig into that.
Number 4.
Disney Plus is giving us The Acolyte. It's in the Star Wars universe.
Beware, we must. A rising darkness.
Hey, that's Yoda.
No, it's not.
Okay, so this all happens. It's a series, a show coming to Disney Plus, set during the time of the High Republic era in the Star Wars timeline. Sam,
Before the first movie.
Before the first movie, okay? Look for it on June 4th. We don't really understand why it's not on May the 4th.
Number three.
Netflix gave us The Quarterback last season.
This is about as close as they'll ever get to seeing what it's like to be a quarterback in this league.
Netflix teaming with the NFL, which is really cool. The NFL Films and with Omaha Productions and Peyton Manning. Well, now this summer we're getting one called Receiver that will follow receivers in the NFL. Devontae Adams will be one. Justin Jefferson, Debo Samuel. It's an 8-episode series premiering this summer.
Number two.
House of the Dragon Season 2 also coming this summer to Max, and we got the trailer this week.
And no war so bloody as a war between dragons.
What? You have to watch this 2 minutes. It's beautiful, and you've never seen such incredible dragons. They're really, it's something to see at least.
Unless you don't care about it.
Okay, fine, in case you don't.
Number one.
Ghostbusters Frozen Empire debuted at the box office for this weekend.
It's unimaginable evil. It's the power to kill by fear itself.
Like, literally scared to death?
Maybe you recognize that voice. That's Dan Aykroyd, the original. Ernie Hudson, original. Bill Murray, original, coming back. Along with Paul Rudd, new Buster on the job. And even Finn Wolfhard. You know him from Stranger Things. This one is expected to make like $50 million in this, its first weekend. We were talking about venting earlier and the fact that it's been proven, many studies, 150 studies that came together on venting, and the findings being that basically it does not reduce anger or rage. It actually makes it worse. It increases your psychological arousal, if you will, increases your heart rate, blood pressure, muscle tension, all of that. Mm-hmm. Although it's so natural with people that you are comfortable with and safe with to vent to, isn't it? But the other part of that, and I mentioned this, Murphy, that you and I have sort of an interesting history with venting. And that is not a negative. It's just that we have, you know, we've, that's come up in our marriage together. And we've talked about, okay.
Over 25 plus years.
Right. Yeah. And the other part of venting is that it has to land somewhere. It lands on someone.
Yeah.
So if you have someone that you're very comfortable with and safe with, a very close friend or your partner or whatever, and you vent to them a lot, that's what you become. You become known for it almost. And do you want to be known for that?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's not healthy for it's not healthy for everybody around if it becomes a habit.
Yeah.
And it is so easy to do around the person who is your best friend in life or whatever, because you're
comfortable and safe.
Correct. You're uncensored, you're unfiltered, and but it's got to be a balance. It's like anything else. And I think there's a big difference between, you know, expressing something, because some things actually don't need to be verbally expressed.
Right.
You can think them and process them, and in your own mind, right, exactly, do it yourself or speak it or handle it in a number of different ways. But venting winds up getting, you know, your own personal physical body involved stress.
And also, how much of a sponge is that other person you're venting to?
Yeah, and how much does the what you just talked about, the psychological stuff affecting that person?
Right.
I mean, you're not doing yourself any good, and they're having to soak it all up. They're like, geez.
Right. And that's on them, though, to learn to not soak it up. There's so much to it psychologically, because you also have to, in life, learn what to observe and what to absorb.
Ooh.
Right? I sent Murphy a little meme on that the other day. Oh. Like, observe it doesn't mean you have to absorb it.
Right, exactly.
And the reason that speaks to me is because I have always been a sponge for other people's energy.
Right.
And I've had to work hard to put a bubble around myself.
A boundary.
That's a
boundary thing.
Yes.
Yeah, you're right.
Is there anything more personal than your medical records?
That's pretty personal stuff. I mean, you wouldn't want them to become public. You don't want them sitting on a table here in the common area.
I mean, I'm asking because I feel like it's almost more personal than your relationships, your medical records. And the reason I bring it up is, of course, because of Kate Middleton this week and what we've learned, that there are three staffers being investigated at this London clinic where she had her abdominal surgery and where she stayed for such a long time. There are three people being investigated for trying to get access to her medical records.
Yeah.
Wow.
And this is the clinic that's been synonymous with the royal. Well, you know, I got us dignitaries, all kinds of, you know, whatever, super private people. And it's where King Charles has had his surgeries. It's the royal family's clinic.
Yeah.
And other people, obviously. So privacy has been their the name of the game. It's the kind of place that keeps press out.
Well, I mean, not just that. I mean, I don't know what the laws are in Britain, but we've got HIPAA laws here in the U.S., you know, to protect your health info.
It's just this whole Kate thing has been crazy to me. From the she was out of the public eye for longer than she had ever been since marrying William because of the abdominal surgery. She gets back into it. And I know the world online, people think there's some kind of conspiracy going on, but she's a mom. For the UK's Mother's Day, shared a picture instead of a royal photographer taking it. She was going to be more today and post one that William took of her and the kids.
Yeah.
She messed with it. She probably put a filter on it. I don't know what she did exactly. And now it's like everybody thinks there's something wonky going on. And it's not.
Well, it's weird how that created conspiracy theories. What's amazing to me is how the media publications latched onto that immediately, that they know a fake photo, an altered photo. Maybe AI helps them to find
of
that.
Of course.
There was like a hand on one of the kids that was turned in one weird direction and stuff like that.
Is that weird? I just didn't.
We're not that, you know, savvy. Yeah.
Right.
I saw, oh, look, there's a picture.
The thing about the medical records, though, just so bothers me because it means somebody was trying to get them for some media outlet.
Oh, yeah.
To find out something super private that is her business only.